Can you tell me a little bit more? Well, actually, let's look at these live pictures at the World Trade Center. The other tower of the World Trade Center has just collapsed. You are looking at live pictures of the second twin tower at the World Trade Center collapsing as a result of the crash of an airplane into its side. That, I believe, was the first tower that was struck.
Is it Katie Couric?
I believe so.
I believe that was Katie Couric.
It was on MSNBC.
Who did a, well, that was maybe Ashley. No, wasn't Ashley.
I can't remember who was on it.
It was interesting to see the folks that, the media figures involved and how it was covered and who did the best job. I got to tell you, NBC was, I thought, was spectacular that day. Peter Jennings was a little behind the curve, the late Peter Jennings at ABC. Hard to know what was going on at the time, not wanting to sensationalize, and then realizing that there was nothing that you could sensationalize because the events themselves were so overwhelming and so spectacular and so huge and so big. Well, I touched on this very briefly, and I don't want to get touchy-feely, but sort of what did it do emotionally to the nation? Paul Krugman, who I just despise, I wish cancer on him. I mean, that's how far it's gone with him. The liberal economist who writes in the New York Times has a disgraceful piece today that he put up on their website that's now being referenced around, and I want to share it with you, but I think it is indicative of how some people use, he writes about he is the epitome of the very issue that he is deploring in his post about the hijacking of the event, 9/11. Because I got to tell you, it's one of these things that is it's personal for the nation. Again, it's a moment in time. It's marked by, I knew where I was, or I knew what was going on, or I remember seeing, and the fact that it played out on television, unlike any of these other events, you saw it happening live. Mm-hmm. You may not have seen the first tower hit with the first plane, but you very much saw, for most of the nation, the second tower. You saw it happening live. It was captured. It was events. I mean, you know, Dallas in 63, the Zapruder film comes out 2 years later. You know, Pearl Harbor newsreels come out months later. This was an event that happened in real time for the entire nation, for the entire globe to see. And what that does to the nation's psyche is really tremendous. And it has become an issue that we have struggled to deal with as a nation. How is it dealt with properly and emotionally? The folks who were directly affected by this, who lost loved ones in the towers at the Pentagon or in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, who have had to deal with the very real and personal loss, and then as a nation, how have we dealt with it? And then what happens, I mean, in terms of, is it a political event? When you have a commemoration, as we see today, is there how inevitably, whomever is in charge, how are they perceived? I mean, there was a rallying around Rudy Giuliani, if you remember, mm-hmm. who truly, and I remember having this very intense discussion with a really smart political guy in D.C. who said, well, why Giuliani didn't do anything. Well, if you measure it against someone who maybe actually moved some rubble, mm-hmm. you know, no, he didn't do that. But to guide a city at that moment in time, mm-hmm. to bring it together. I mean, I usually don't believe in sort of the broad metaphor or the symbolic leadership. I believe in the guy that gets his hands dirty and actually does stuff. But in that case, Giuliani's efforts had a truly tangible effect, not only on the city of New York, but the nation. And I believe he did a spectacular job. Many people would shrink from the moment.
Mm-hmm. On Letterman's first night back, he called him a hero, you know, and was just praising him.
Exactly. So I believe that he gets a lot of credit. Listen, I think, obviously, you know, we make no bones about the fact that that I'm conservative on this program, so I'm a big fan of President Bush. And I thought as an honorable man, he led the nation properly. I think, to be fair, there had to be criticism for the first 12 hours of what was going on. But to the White House's credit, they didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the FAA, the Department of Transportation, and the FBI were all trying to talk to one another, not real. How many planes do we have up in the air? And if you see in some of these specials, literally air traffic controllers not realizing, hey, where's this plane? We can't find. And so if you think about the number of planes that are in the air at one time over the United States, and then then grounding all the international arrivals.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mammoth task, and so people scrambling. So they get the president up in the air. At one point, he was in, I believe he was in Louisiana. At one point, he went to NORAD, and they had him down in the bunker in the what's widely considered the safest place on the planet, NORAD HQ, where they you're buried miles deep in the ground. And then they had him back up in the air, and I think, Bush telling, get out of my way, we're going back to Washington. They had a lot happening at that moment in time. But the emotional experience for us, we've dealt with it. We've grappled with how it should be a solemn occasion. What happens? And then the political nature. And I just think that Paul Krugman is disgusting. But that aside, I think that his post today is provocative only in the sense that he's being critical about something that he himself has hijacked the event. And I'll just read. Is it me or is it just are the 9/11 commemorations oddly subdued? Actually, I don't think it's me. And I'm quoting Krugman here, and it's not really that odd. What happened after 9/11, and I think even people on the right know this, whether they admit it or not, was deeply shameful. The atrocity should have been a unifying event, but instead it became a wedge issue. Fake heroes like Bernie Kerik, Rudy Giuliani, and yes, George W. Bush, raced to cash in on the horror, and then the attack was used to justify an unrelated war the neocons wanted to fight for all the wrong reasons. Well, hey, I think, and I guess this is where we're dealing with this. Well, continuing on in Krugman's post today on the New York Times, a lot of other people behave badly. How many of our professional pundits, people who should have understood very well what was happening, took the easy way out, turning a blind eye to the corruption and lending their support to the hijacking of the atrocity. The memory of 9/11 has been irrevocably poisoned. It has become an occasion for shame, and in its heart, the nation knows best. And the nation knows it. Well, I mean, I completely disagree, because there was that moment where Congress walked out, late in the evening, Congress walked out on the steps together, sang God Bless America, walked back in. Now, guys like Krugman and others, they deplore that, because they just see it as an event not having any kind of tangible effect. But it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. And oddly enough, I think as a nation, the aftermath was one of our finer moments. And I don't say that to get everyone ginned up. Mm-hmm. I mean, the opportunity to have real racism exposed, cloaked in patriotism, you know, the opportunity for our nation to violently react didn't occur. I mean, there might have been the occasional incident. But I thought, frankly, that there was a tremendous amount of not just unity, because that's to be expected after an event like this, but handling the event as a nation in the proper way. Mm-hmm. I thought it was one of our finest hours as a nation. And to see Krugman now take pot shots at Bush and Giuliani, is it was a coward's way out. Mm-hmm. So he's writing about the event being hijacked by these folks, and he's being critical of it, but he himself is doing exactly what he is being critical of. You know, so it's disgusting at best to read, and I read Paul Krugman. I think it's important to seek out points of view that are not your own and to try to understand and think. But in this case, it really is a shameful moment for him. I think it's been the event itself, and we're going to talk in the second hour about the last decade and what America has gone through in the last decade. And frankly, why we had to be in the Middle East and the benefits that that's having now. I mean, the dominoes falling throughout North Africa and along the Arabian Peninsula is a metamorphosis. It is a century that has changed in the blink of an eye in the oldest part of the planet. So, but we'll talk about that in the second hour. I realize I'm probably rambling on now. But this is one of those, it's a tough thing, man, isn't it? I mean, this is the easy thing to do as a nation is just to go to the lowest common denominator and just pour out a lot of hate. But I don't know that that does a service to those people who gave their lives up. And, you know, as a matter of respect for those people who died that day, we owe it to them to understand the events and to deal with it the best way possible and not let the lowest common denominator take hold. Got to hit a break. It's a beautiful Sunday. Stay with us. Back with more after this. Change your heart. Look around you. Change your heart. It will astound you. I need your loving night sunshine. And everybody's gotta learn sometime. Everybody's gotta learn sometime.
Join Doug Ryan, Professor Tom Hunt every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Home Remedies. They've been in the business of energy efficiency for more than 25 years, and they're here to spread that wealth of knowledge to you in order to make your home more comfortable and energy efficient. They'll also have guests on the show that'll help you drive those high energy bills out the door. So if you're thinking about building a new home or want to make some adjustments to your current home, then listen to Home Remedies every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on The Buzz.